Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochem Daf Samach Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur on Daf Samach Zayin, almost halfway down the page. If you want to count, you can find it 23 lines from the top. In the middle of the line, you will see a slash mark and an underlined Rav Chisda. On the side of the Gemara, opposite the point where we will be beginning, we have a nosei, a topic heading, where we've written Ma Dino, or Onshoi, what is the punishment, Shel Metzora Shenichnas Lifnim Mimechitzaso, if a Metzora who is supposed to be sent out of the community, the halacha is that a person who is experiencing Tzoras, if he is in a walled city, then he is to be sent outside the entire city, outside the wall, where he sits and dwells by himself till his tzoras passes. In the case of Yerushalayim, so he will be outside Yerushalayim. In the case of the Jews traveling in the Midbar, so a Metzora would have been sent out of the entire camp. But when we refer to that as Chutz Lemachne Yisrael. With that in mind, we now continue with the Gemara itself. In the middle of the line, Omar Rav Chisda, Metzora Shenichnas Lifnim Mechitzaso. If a Metzora wrongfully enters the camp, he goes within his Mechitza, within the wall or the boundary that he is not supposed to enter, but he does. Potter, he is exempt. He is exempt, meaning he does not get lashings. Shenemar, Bodod Yeshev Michutz Lemachane Moishavo. The Pasuk says, it's a positive command, in other words, he shall dwell outside the camp. So even though the Torah has a negative command that he shall not enter the camp, and the Pasuk in that context says, "V'lo yitamu es machaneim," and they shall not profane or defile their camp, that's a negative command. There is nevertheless a positive command which undoes the negative command. And that's called alav hanitak lase, literally a negative command that has been removed from its standard law, which would result in a punishment of lashing, as is the case for violating a lo sase in the Torah, negative command. If one, for example, eats unkosher meat. The Torah says in a negative sense, do not eat unkosher meat, and a person goes ahead and does such, he deserves lashings. Here, the Metzora is not supposed to enter the camp of Israel, and if he does, he should have been subject to lashing. However, there is a positive, the command, that tells him what to do, and it's the way of the Torah saying that your tikkun, your atonement or your repair is not through receiving the punishment of lashings, but do this positive command. And that's called, once again, Lav Hanitak La'aseh. And we continue in the Gemara. Bodod Yeshev means Levado Yeshev. Michutz Lemachane Moshavo. He shall dwell by himself outside the camp. Hakosav Niskoi La'aseh. The Torah Nisko removes it from, the Natek is to remove something, remove this violation from the realm of the negative command, which is a result which results in lashings, and puts it into the category of a positive command, thereby no lashing. In general, if a person violates a positive command, so there are no lashings. Esve, we raise an objection from the following source. Mitzora shenichnas lefnim mechitzasoi, a mitzora that enters the boundary that he is not allowed to, be'arboim. That means, it's another expression, literally, it's 40, it means 40 lashes. Right there we have a comment that is against Rav Chisda. Zovin v'zavos shenichnas lefin mimechitzason v'arboyim. These are different forms of tuma, zav and zavos. They also are to be sent out of their precinct. In other words, the walls or the boundaries for a mitzvah are different than the boundaries for a zav and a zava. The zav and zava are allowed to be in what we call machane Yisrael. There are three machanos that we refer to when we're dealing with these topics of being sent out. There's something called machane Shechina, which is represented by the azora of the Beis Hamikdash. There is Machane Levia, which is represented by the Temple Mount outside the wall of the Temple Courtyard. And there is the rest of the in Jewish encampment. In the case of Yerushalayim, it would be a reference to the rest of the city of Yerushalayim. The Mitzorah is to be sent out of all three camps. The Zav and Mitzorah is not allowed to enter the Temple Mount, and certainly not the Azora, but he is allowed to be in Yerushalayim. So here we are referring to a case that the Zav or Zava entered where they're not supposed to go. They entered the Temple Mount, for example. So it says, Be'arboyim, they get 40 lashes. V'tomei meis, mutar likones l'machne levia. When it comes to someone who was defiled as a result of contact with the dead, so he is allowed to be in the machne levia. And in the terms we were using before, he would be allowed to be on the Temple Mount. He is simply restricted from going into the Azora. V'lo tomei meis bilvad, when we speak about the tomei meis, one, the person who is defiled, we're not referring only to him. V'lo, again, we'll read that again. V'lo tomei meis bilvad omru. When they speak about the tomei meis, they're not restricting to that. Elo afilu meis atzmo, a corpse itself, can be in the Machne Leviah, which translates into the Temple Mount. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Vayikach Moshe's atzmos Yosef imo. In the travels in the Midbar, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu, he carried the remains of Yosef. And imo means b'mechitzoso, where he was within his realm. And Moshe was a Levi. And as such, the bones of Yosef, which is a reference to the Mace Atzmo, that was with him in the Machne Leviah. Well, at this point, though, we have a problem. We have a question on Rav Chisda. So the Gemara responds, Tanoihi. This issue is a Machloikis Tanoim. Tisanya. The source features, as you can see, we have a framed source. You've got the Rav Yehuda's name underlined and in the middle of the source, followed by Rabbi Shimon. So the source continues, Bodod Yeshev Levado. That means he shall, Yeshev means Shelo, but actually the Pasuk is Bodod Yeshev, which means Levado. He shall dwell by himself. So the posik bodod is a word meaning levado, by himself. Yeshev shelo yu tameim achirim yoshvim imo. The other tameim shall not be with him. Before we go further, let us just point out a detail as far as our markings are concerned. You notice that we have put the word yeshev in brackets here and a few lines up after we saw Rav Chisda's din. The Gemara appears to be darshaning, though it quotes the two words together, bodod yeshev, it appears to be darshaning the word bodod by it first, indicating livado. So the drosha, or the explanation of livado, goes on the word bodod. And then the Gemara continues using the word yeshev. We saw about eight lines up, yeshev michutz l'machne moshavo, and the yeshev there is a word indicating a positive command, as Rav Chisda said, hakosuv niskoi laasei. Here, as we are introducing the machlokes tanoim, again we see bodod, and then we put yeshev in brackets, because the brice again is darshan word bodod as livado, and then yeshev, meaning he shall dwell, indicating a singular action of sitting, of dwelling. And from this, the Braisa says, Shaloyu Tameim Achirim Yoshvin Imoi, that other Tameim shall not be with him. We mentioned before, there are, in addition to Mitzorah, there are Zovim, there's Mitzoroyim, there are Tomei Meis, But the Yeshev tells us that others shall not be with him. Now, you'll notice that this particular Tana is not darshaning the word Yeshev as a positive command. The Rav Chisda indicated that Yeshev teaches us a positive command. You will notice, though, at the end of this Tanaic source, and you can see the dashed underline expression, that Reb Shimon's approach is like that of Rav Chisda, namely Hakosoiv Niskoi Le'aseh, where he darshins, Reb Shimon darshins Bodod Yeshev, the Pasuk is indicative of a positive command. So we will only then see the Tana that represents the opinion of Rav Chisda. Hence, we are referring to the issue as a machloikes tanoim. In the meantime, we're involved with Rabbi Yehuda, who does not follow the approach suggested by Rav Chisda. So what does Rav Yehuda learn from this pasuk? Well, that Yeshev teaches me that the different tameim are to be in their respective precincts. The Brisa continues, Yochel Yuzovin Utmei Mesim Mishtalchin L'machnachas. Oh, granted, we said that the Mitzora is in his, he is separate. But what about Zovim and Tmei Mesim? Are they sent into one precinct? Talmud Lomar V'lo Yitamu Es Machanehem. And from this pasuk we learn, Litein Machane Loze U'Machane Loze Divrei Rebbe Yehuda. That each type of tumah has its own precinct. So we have mitzoroim in one area, zovim in their area, and tamei mesim in their area. Rabbi Shimon Oimer eino tzorach. Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and he says that we don't use this drusha the way Rabbi Yehuda did. Before we proceed to look at Rashi on the comment of Reb Shimon of Eino Tzorech, let us look at a pasuk that we've included on the side of the Gemara, Bamidbar, Perek Hay. We want to look at Psukim Beis and Gimel. So on the side, we've written the following, Tzav Ez B'nei Yisrael, Vishalchu Min HaMachne, command the people of Israel, have sent out of the camp, called Surah V'chol Zav, V'chol Tomei L'Nefesh. Tomei L'Nefesh is a reference to Tumas Meis. So send out of the camp each one of these kinds of Tumas. Posse Gimel, Mizochar Ad Nekeva Tishalechu, El Michutz L'Machane Tishalchum, V'lo Yitamu Es Machnehem Asher Ani Shoychein B'Socham. The Posse tells us that from male to female, they shall be sent outside the camp. And with having read this pasuk, let's now glance at the Rashi. Dibor HaMasfil, Yochel, you'll see this four lines under the Gemara. This is a reference to what Rabbi Yehuda had said. Before we can appreciate Rabbi Shimon's rejection of Rabbi Yehuda, let us understand a little further what Rabbi Yehuda had said. So, in the Rashi, four lines under the Gemara text, Yochel Yuzovin Utmei Mesim Mishtalchin L'machna Achas. Could it be that even though we said that the Mitzorah is to dwell by himself, what about Zovin and Tmei Mesim? Are they to be together? Talmud Lomar V'lo Yitamu Es Machneim. Tein Machne Loze U'Machne Loze. So from this we learn that each one gets its own precinct. Midaloksiv machane, mashma, from the fact that Pasuk says machanehem in the plural, and not machane in the singular or general sense, this implies machne l'chol echod ve'echod, a separate machne for each one. Vosim tarti machnes ksivi, and in that Pasuk, in fact, there is a reference to two machnos. It says, vishachu min ha-machane, this we saw in Pasuk Gimel, in Pasuk Beis, Pasuk Beis, Vishalchu min ha-machne, and then it says, Michutz l'machne tishalchum, that's found in Pasuk Gimel. V'hai michutz l'machne de Mitzora, the term michutz l'machne that you find in the context of the Mitzora, Litain loy machne shlishis. That accounts for a third machne for him, for the mitzora. That we already saw referred to in the pasuk quoted by Rav Chisda, pasuk Perek Yud Gimel of Sefer Vayikra, pasuk Mem Vav, Bodod Yeshev Michutz Lamachane Moishava. So he has his own pasuk. Now, having read the Rashi, we look at the Rashi that's relevant to Rabbi Shimon. Eino tzorech, Rashi says, hi michutz lamachane. The michutz lamachane of the mitzora is not needed. Litein loy machne shlishis lotzio, to indicate that he has a third machne. The kulu mehosam nafki. All the different tmeim can be learned from over there, namely from this posuk in Bamidbar. The al korchuch kulon chamurim zemizeh betumoisehem. Each one, you have tomei meis, zav, and mitzora, are in succeeding order one more chamur than the next, one more stringent than the other. The I kulu shavu inyan machnois, if it were so that all of them were equal with regard to this law of precincts, lichtov shiluach bakal, let the Torah write the din of being sent out by the most lenient of these tumos, v'ano yodano, and I would then on my own be able to figure out if the lenient tumah is sent out to a particular place. Kol shekein the chomer boy shiluach, certainly the more stringent form would need to be sent out. So, and yet the Torah enumerates each one of the tmeim, umidikasvinu kulhu, from the fact that the Torah enumerates each one, shma mino, this shows us shilucho shelze, lo kashilucho shelze. The sending out of one is not like the other. Now, let's go back into the Gemara. We saw so far Rebbe Yehuda, where he indicates that each one has a separate machne. We saw him refer to psukim in Vayikra Perek Yud Gimel Posuk Mem Vav and Posuk in Bamidbar Perek Hay Posuk Beis and Gimel, in which he accounted for three separate machnos. Rabbi Shimon says, and we go back into the Gemara, the second to last narrow line of the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Omer Eino Tzorech, we don't need his approach. Harehu Omer, the Posuk says, Vishalchu Minamachne Kol Tzorev Chozav Chotome Linefesh. That's the pasuk we read from Bamidbar Perek Hay, pasuk Beis. How does Rabbi Shimon see in this pasuk three camps? Yomar Tomei Meis, the Al Yomar Zav. If they were the same, if they all were sent to the same machne, so the Torah could have written the din, the halacha being sent out in the context of the tomei meis, the al yomar zav, and don't bother specifying zav, vani omer, on my own, I would have said tomei meis and mishtalchin, the defiled to the dead are sent out, zoven lo kol shekein. Now, we've used a double underline to highlight the subsequent types of tumah more chomer than the previous ones. So why does the Torah spell out that zavim are also sent out? Lomo ne'emar zav. So why is zav stated? Litein lo'i machne shniya, to provide a separate precinct for the zav, separate from the tomei meis. The Yomar Zav al Yomar Mitzor. Let the Torah indicate the Zav is sent out and not specify the same by Mitzorah. Vani Yomer, and I would have figured on my own, Zavin Mishtalchin Mitzorah in Lokol Shekein. If the Zavim are sent out, then certainly the Mitzor, which is more Chomor, is to be sent out. Lomo Ne'emar Mitzorah. So why does the Torah specify Mitzorah in Bamidbar Perek Hey Posuk Beis? Litein lo imachne shlishis, to indicate a third a third and separate precinct for the Mitzorah. Kishuomer Bodod Yeshev, the pasuk that says he shall dwell by himself, Hakosuv Niskoi Lase, the Torah is telling me that that is a positive command, and that the negative command of Lo Yitamunis Machneim is removed from the realm of a negative command, which ordinarily would result in Malkos, and is considered an Aseh. In other words, an Aseh, as we said before, has no Malkos punishment. On the side, we have a Mivneh, a structural note, with the double underline, and we indicated Kol Shekein. That's the term that you saw double underlined along with a specific tumah. Tumos chamuros sheyacholti ludas al shilucham mehamachane mikal v'chomer. Different kinds of tumah that I could have known they are sent out even without the Torah specifying them. So why does the Torah specify them? To indicate that they have a separate machane. You'll notice, and you see, that we have a brackets. On the side of the Gemara, we have an indicator, a little picture of brackets that we drew in. And these brackets, you can see in the Gemara itself, are rather long. The bracketed section takes you till the middle of Omid Beis. Now, the note that accompanies the brackets, we're looking at the lower part of the inner margin, where we've written, Kol ma shemuva b'sograyim hino levaseis divrei Rabbi Shimon. Everything in the brackets is to serve as a basis or an explanation to strengthen Rabbi Shimon's position. Dahainu shemashikosuv tzuru v'chozav bedin shiluach, that which the Torah specifies, the different types of tumah in this din of being sent out of precincts, kidei lelamed al toisefes machanos, to tell me there are additional regions for each one. Miad achres sogra magmor mevio tshuvas Rebbe Yehuda. After the brackets, the Gemara will then bring Rebbe Yehuda's response, Loma hu loime toisefes machnos mi machanehem velo mi psukel shu Reb Shimon vishachu tzoru v'chozav. Why does Rebbe Yehuda stick to his position and not follow the approach of Rebbe Shimon? So, structurally, we have a Tanaic source. In the brackets, an elaboration of Shitas Rebbe Shimon. Following the brackets on Omid Beis, you have, if you notice, we skip there momentarily, the Gemara there says, "V'Rebbe Yehuda, in looking at Rebbe Yehuda, Shapir Kom Rebbe Shimon, does Rebbe Shimon not make a good point?" Shapir means to be fine, to be well, to be good. Does he not say well? So the question is, what does Rebbe Yehuda do, or what pushed Rebbe Yehuda into darshaning from V'Lo Yitamunis Machneim, the idea of separate machnos, and not learn from the enumeration of each form of tumah, as Rabbi Shimon did. So the Gemara there will say, Ahu miboyale lichedisanya. Rabbi Yehuda needs the Rabbi Shimon pasuk for something else. And there is a Tanaic source that reveals what the alternative conclusion is for Rabbi Yehuda from the Rabbi Shimon pasuk. Now that the structure is hopefully clear, we will then focus in on the Gemara itself. The Shas Ozer Gemara markings provides a topic heading under the heading Nosei, which we've already gone through. But let's read it again, just read the topic heading as an additional review. We've written on the side, Shitas Rabbi Shimon, Hoychocha l'toisefes machnos l'shiluach zavu mitzor miyitur dekra, the proof of additional camps or areas for being sent out with regards to the zav mitzor. We say additional means beyond the tomei meis, mitura dekra, meha from that which is extra in the pasuk, meha dekosef hatero zavu mitzor bedin shiluach, from the fact that the Torah enumerates zav and mitzora regarding this din, melamed al teisefes machnas. This teaches us that there are additional regions. De le'etz and din shilucham, as far as the basic halacha being sent out, yacholti lumot kol echod mikal v'chomer, I would have been able to learn each additional one from a kal v'chomer. So now we turn our attention to the Gemara. In the course of learning Rabbi Shimon, we mentioned that the Zav is more chomor than the Tomei Mace. And if all we were interested in is the idea of being sent out, period, and not specific camps for each one separately, then it would have been sufficient for the Torah to reveal the din of being sent out in the context of the Tomei Mace. And I would have said, if a Tomei Mace is sent out, then the Zav all the more so. And here we have in our diamonds the Hezber, and on the side we have an indication of what this is. We wrote on the side, Hezberim Bema Hamurim, explanations as to what are specifically the stringencies. Abbasis Lomar Kol Shekein, what are the extra stringencies by one or unique features by one over the other. So let's go through them now. The Gemara in the brackets, my chumrei dezav mitomei meis. What is the extra element of zav that doesn't exist by tomei meis? Answer: shekein tuma yotze lof migufo. The chumra is by zav that it's a tuma that emanates from within the person's own body. It's not an extraneous or external form of defilement, but it's something that ebbs up from within one's own body. Well, other rabbi, I can argue to the contrary. Tomei meis chomor shekein ton hazor shlishu shvi. The tomei meis has a unique stringency that you don't find by the zav, and that is that after his defilement, he has a seven-day waiting period that he has to be careful not to expose himself once again to Tumas Meis. And during that 7 day, we'll call it the 7 clean days, he is sprinkled with the Para Aduma water. That's water that's mixed with the ashes of the burnt red heifer. That is what provides Tahara for the Tomei Meis, and that's a procedure that's unique to a Tomei Meis. So does that not put the Tomei Meis on a higher level? And if you do say that, so then you lose the logic behind Rabbi Shimon's reasoning. He had reasoned that the Torah could have written just Tomei Meis if all we were interested in is deriving the din of being sent out. It would have been sufficient to write just Tomei Meis, and Zav would have followed in the fact that the Zav is more stringent. But here we're suggesting an opposite form of logic. The Gemara answers, Omar Kro, Tomei, V'chol Tomei. In the Pasuk that we cited earlier, it said, V'chol Tomei L'nefesh. And that you saw at the end of Pasuk Beis in Perikei of Bamidbar. It doesn't just say Tomei Lenefesh. Could have said V'chol Zav V'tomei Lenefesh, but it says V'chol Tomei Lenefesh. The word V'chol is an inclusionary expression adding something. And who is added over here? The Gemara says L'ravois Tomei Sheretz, so that included in the same breath as Tomei Lenefesh, you also have one who is defiled to a Sheretz. That's a dead creature, one of eight that are specified in the Torah, that when they are dead, they communicate Tumah. So the Tumas Sheretz is alluded to in this Pasuk in the same context, in the same breath as Tumas Meis is being stated. V'zav chomor mitomei Sheretz. And the Zav, in fact, is more chomor than the Tomei Sheretz. And how is that? Umay chumay kidamoran. Its chumra is, as we said, that it's a tumor shiotze migufo, as opposed to Sheretz, which is a tumor that's generated by an external source, namely the dead creature, the dead Sheretz. Adarabah, Sheretz chomor. Could you not argue that the Sheretz has a stringency beyond that of the Zav? Shekein metame bo'ines. The Sheretz generates Tumah, even if it's from Ones, is circumstances beyond your control, so to speak. In other words, any form of contact with the Sheretz results in Tumah Sheretz, whether it's someone that threw a Sheretz on you, or fell on you, or you deliberately touched it, doesn't matter. That's Ones. It includes all cases of contact. And this idea of tumah as a result of all cases of contact is not the case when it comes to tumas zav. And when it comes to tumas zav, we have to evaluate what led up to his zav emission. And the Mishnayos point out that there are seven different questions we ask before we conclude whether the person is a real zav or not. For example, if a person ate a very heavy meal and then experiences a zav type emission, he will not become tame. And there are six other examples like that. So that we can say the zav does not become tame be'oines. So is it not so then that the sheretz is more chamur? The Gemara rejects this, Amri, and we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Ki hai gavno zav nami temuye metame ba'oines. In the realm of zav, there is a form of tumas ones. We didn't specify beforehand, but a zav is the product of a minimum of two emissions. In fact, the zav, if he experiences three zav emissions, so he will then have to bring a sacrifice as well. But when it comes to the zav, as we said, the zav becomes a zav, which is a seven-day form of tumah after experiencing three zav emissions. However, the first zav emission, unlike the second one, the first zav emission, it doesn't result in his becoming tame for 7 days. He becomes tame for 1 day, which, by the way, is very much like the sheretz in terms of length of time, which is also a one-day state of defilement. However, that first ziva sighting, the first zav sighting, will impart the tuma, the day tuma, even be'oines. And that's what the Gemara says, that you have a form of oines, of tumas oines, of tuma under all circumstances with regard to the first of the multiple ziva sightings. So that this concept of tumas oines, tuma through oines circumstances, is not something unique or a stringency that you find by a sheretz. You have the same thing in the realm of the zav. Kid Rav Huna, based on Rav Huna's teaching, Dem Rav Huna, Re'iyah Rishonah Shel Zav Metameh Bo'ines. The first zav sighting, say a liquid emission coming forth from a male, that type of emission, the zav type emission, when it happens for the first time, he does become tamei, and we will declare him tamei even without asking him the questions. We mentioned seven questions that we would pose to a zav, that is done only as a result of the second sighting, which results in his being tamei for 7 days. However, when it comes to the first sighting, he is tamei just because he had the sighting, regardless of whether he had a big meal or whether he did any of the other things regarding that are found in that list of questions that we refer to. So at this point, we have established that the fact that the Torah spells out, in addition to Tomei Nefesh, someone who's Tomei Meis being sent out, the Zav is also sent out, but sent out to his own camp. And how do we know that? Because the Torah spelled out Zav and didn't rely on my simply figuring out his being sent out through a Kal v'chomer from Tomei Meis. And at this point now, when we speak about Tomei Meis, it's Tomei Meis / Tomei Sheretz. The Zav is viewed as more chomor. And what is that? It is because it's Tuma Yotze Elov Migufo. Continuing, my Chumrei Demetzora Mizav, what is the Chumra that exists by the Metzora above Zav? And as a result of that, I would have known that the Metzora is to be sent out. Why is he specified? So we explain, he's specified in order to indicate he gets a separate machane. So what is that particular stringency by the Metzora? Shekein ta'un priya uprima v'osur betashe shamita. The Metzora has requirements that you don't have by the Zav. Priya is a situation where his head of hair is to be to continue growing. He's not allowed to cut his hair. And prima is he has to rend his garments, and he is also betasha shamita, cannot be with his spouse in intimacy. And those requirements don't exist by the zav. Well, the Gemara says, "Adarav, zav chomor." I would say that the zav is more chomor than the mitzor shekain mitama mishkov u'moshav u'mitama kli cheres behesit. The zav imparts a more stringent form of tumah regarding mishkav u'moshav. Those are beds and chairs that he comes into contact with. A mitzora does not impart the same level of tumah to beds and chairs as a zav does. We're not going to elaborate. We don't want to just overload here on details, so we're just going to leave it at that, that the zav's imposition of tumah on mishkav u'moshav is a higher form, a more stringent level of tumah than the mishkav u'moshav result of contact with a mitzora. And also, he is metama kli cheres behesed. Hesed has to do with causing the movement of an earthenware vessel. So that a zav, if he moves it, even without actually putting his, let's say, his finger into the airspace of a kli cheres, simply by moving the kli cheres, or causing its movement, he will impart tumah to the kli cheres. Kli cheres are clay vessels. So what are we saying? That the zav has stringencies that go beyond that which you find by the mitzora. How do you know then to say that mitzora is more chomor than zav? Omar Kra. The pasuk mentioned zav v'chol zav. We saw this once again in the pasuk we cited earlier, Bamidbar Perek Hey, pasuk Beis. It said v'chol zav, followed by v'chol tamei lenefesh. And we saw before from v'chol tamei lenefesh, that pasuk is referring to as tumas sheretz. And here the expression v'chol zav l'rabois balkeri, it is referring to a balkeri, u'mitzora chomor mi balkeri, and that is for sure that a mitzora is more stringent than a balkeri. Balkeri is a male who had, we call the, sometimes it's referred to as a nocturnal emission. The familiar, we'll call it the familiar male emission, as opposed to the zav, which I would classify as much less familiar in a real life situation. A balkeri is a more familiar situation, and it's a different type of emission than the zav, but it's included in the pasuk of the chol zav. And being that the zav pasuk refers to the balkeri also, and mitzora is more chomor than a balkeri, so we have the logic that Rib Shimon was referring to before. If the Torah simply wanted to tell me that a mitzora is sent out, so it would have been sufficient to state sending out by zav, and now we know zav and balkeri, and I would have been able to figure out through a kal v'chomer that the mitzora is sent out, and what is that? What's the chumra by the mitzora? So the Gemara says, "Umay chumrei kidamoron," as we said already, that's priya, prima, and tashmish amita, the prohibition of intimacy. Adarabo balkeri chomor shekein metame b'mashehu. On the contrary, the balkeri experiences tumah even if a mashehu would be the most negligible amount of this emission is emitted from the body. So, if that's the case, and by the way, that's as opposed to the mitzoras is dependent on a specific shiur, a specific amount of skin discoloration. Sometimes it's referred to as a shiur kegris, a certain called bean size of discoloration of skin. But less than that would not result in tzoras. However, in the case of balkeri, we're suggesting even a negligible amount. In other words, there's no shiur to it. The Gemara answers, Sovar lo k'Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Shimon, who maintained that a mitzora is more stringent, he holds like Rabbi Nosson's approach. Desanya, Rabbi Nosson, Omer, Mishum, Rabbi Shmuel, Zav, Tzor, Kichasimas, Pi, Ho'amo. We just, the angular brackets here are to de-emphasize what's within them, because we're focusing right now on Shitas Reb Shimon. In the brackets it says, V'lo hodu lo chachomim. The chachomim disagreed with Rabbi Nosson. However, as far as we are concerned, Rabbi Shimon subscribes to Rabbi Nosson, that says that a Zav has a shiur that's known as Chasimas Pi'o'amo. There is a hole in the male organ, and the Zav becomes a Zav only if the hole is filled, we'll say, with that particular emission. The Iskash Le Balkeri Lezav. And Balkeri is compared to Zav, so that it no longer is what we called before, what we said was Bemashihu, but rather the Balkeri becomes Tomei only if there is a quantity of liquid known as Chasimas Pi'o'amo. So at this point, then the Mitzora is clearly more stringent than the Zav / Balkeri. So if the Torah's interest is simply to tell me that the Mitzora is sent out, you don't have to bother saying anything about Mitzora. The whole, so why does the Torah spell it out? It spells out Mitzora to tell me that he is sent, not only is he sent out, but he's sent out to a special, separate location. The Gemara asks, since we've been darshaning till now, V'chol Tomei Lenefesh, the word V'chol there, and V'chol in the case of V'chol Zav, V'chol Tzarua Lamali, we dash on V'chol because the emphasis of the question is on what is the role of V'chol here. Why is that? Aidi, the Kosiv Kol Zav, since the Posek has already used the term Kol Zav, and there it was necessary, for the sake of scriptural balance or textual balance, or consistency, ksiv nami kol tzora. Even though here, in the context of the Torah, the kol does not have any specific role as far as we are concerned. The Gemara now goes back to the original source and makes reference to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and it says, Rabbi Yehuda, Shapir Koma Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon seems to be making a strong point that you don't need the Pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda cited for camp separateness, you could have derived it from the way Rabbi Shimon derived it, from the fact that the Torah enumerates in Bamidbar, Perek Hey Pasuk Beis, it enumerates Tomei Nefesh, Zav, and Mitzora. So what's Rabbi Yehuda's response to that? Answer, Hahu Meboya Le Lichidisanyo. Rabbi Yehuda needs the enumeration of the different tmeims in their specific form for a different purpose. And he needs it for the following. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Yochol Dochaku Zavin Umitsori Vinichnasu Lazora, Bepesach Habo Betumo Yochol Yu Chayovin. Just a word of introduction. A person who is Tomei, who goes into the Azora, he is chayav misa bidei shemayim. He's chayav death at the hands of heaven. It's a very serious offense. So, what is the din, however, in a case where the Korban Pesach is what the Gemara referred to as bal betumah? That's a case where the majority of the tzibor, majority of the nation, in fact, are Tomei Mace. In a case like that, the Korban Pesach is brought on the 14th of Nisan by people that are Tomei Mace. That's a Pesach HaBo B'Tumah. Let us say that amongst the population you have people that are also Zavim and Mitzoroyim. And, you know, either Zavim or Mitzoroyim. During the 14th of Nisan, when the majority of the public were Tomei Mace and they were doing their Korban Pesach Betumah, what happens if a Zav or Mitzora, which by the way is not grounds, that type of Tumah does not justify making a public, having a Korban Pesach done on the 14th Betumah? Only we say this by Tomei Mace, not by Zav and Mitzora. Well, let's say the Zav and Mitzora pushed their way into the Azora under those circumstances, namely Pesach HaBo B'Tumah, Yochol Yu Chayovin, would they be guilty? And we mentioned before would they be guilty of the punishment of Misa Bidei Shamayim? So Talmud Omar Vishachu min Amachne Kol Tzorua V'Choza V'Chol Tomei L'Nefesh. And we darshan from this, we explain B'Shosh Shetmei Mesim Mishdalchin, when Tamei Mesim are sent out, Zavan U'Mitzrayim Mishdalchin, they are sent out. Ein Tamei Mesim Mishdalchin, as is the case in Pesach Habo B'Tumah, Ein Zavan U'Mitzrayim Mishdalchin, so they are not sent out either. Now when we say they're not sent out, it means the truth is they shouldn't go in, but if they go in, so they're not guilty as they would have been otherwise. We mentioned erroneously Misa B'dei Shemayim, when in fact the penalty is more severe, it's Kores. By the way, the point we just mentioned that they really shouldn't go in, even though it's a Pesach Baba Tumah, you'll see this in the Rashi, toward the lower part, toward the end of the page, approximately 9-10 lines up from the bottom, Rashi says, Ein zoven u'mitzrayim mishtachin shiluchon harishon v'koreis. They're not sent out as they would have been in the first instance, which would have resulted in koreis, had they entered, mihu l'chadchilo lo ishtaru. However, they shouldn't enter as a first choice. The Torah reveals a leniency with regard to the tzibur being tomei meis, but other types of tumas are pushed off. They are not allowed to go in. Mihu ahani hekesh lefotrim min hakores. The hekesh, the comparison in the pasuk, the juxtaposition of phrases aligning the tomei meis with the zav and the mitzora, is effectual for this conclusion that there is no kores. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Mar. We stated this earlier. We have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, where you can see above this appeared. Zav v'chol zav, the rabbis bal keri, to include bal keri as also needing to be sent out like a zav. Messiah Leila Rabbi Yochanan, that which we said that a balkeri is compared to a zav, is a support for Rabbi Yochanan's teaching. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan has, there are two points that are mentioned here. The first point is not relevant for our discussion immediately. That's why you see a bracket. So he says, Mechilos lo niskachu. And the second point, Ubalkeri mishtaleach chutz l'shtei machnos. And you can see with our dashed underlining, we are emphasizing what we want here, that the source that we that which we taught above, that the Balkeri is compared to the Zav, in so far that the Balkeri also is sent out of two machnos, namely, Balkeri is not allowed on the Temple Mount, on the Har HaBayis, as it is Machne Levio. He is sent out of the, certainly out of the Azora, Machne Shechina, as well as the Machne Levio, two Machnos. As you can see, a series of triangles follows in alternating directions. On the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei, our topic heading, we've written, Din Shur of Yochanan, Balkeri, Mishtaleach Chutz L'Shnei Machnos. And the Mivneh heading, the structural note, with a triangle facing up, they represent Kushyos al Rabbi Yochanan, questions or challenges to Rabbi Yochanan, and the inverted triangle with the point facing down, Tshuvos, represents responses. This structure of Gemara will continue down a number of lines, a good number of lines, down the top of Samach Ches Omed Aleph. Continuing with the first question, Meisvei, Balkeri, Kemaga Sheretz. The source says that a Balkeri is like one who had contact with a Sheretz. And a Sheretz, Tumas Sheretz, we mentioned before, is parallel to Tumas Mace in the sense that it's sent out of one camp. So, my lav, l'machanoisam, is it not so that Balkeri is compared to a Sheretz with regard to the number of camps that they must not enter? In other, they must not enter just one, namely the Machne Shechina. So that's against Rabbi Yochanan, who says the Balkeri is prohibited in entering two camps. Loi, litum osan. The comparison is for the rules of Tumah that they are both Tomei just till the evening. Tumas Erev. The Gemara says, really, is that what the source is referring to? L'tumasan. Hai Tumas Erev behed yoksiv bei v'hai Tumas Erev behed yoksiv bei. Both Sheretz and Balkeri have the Torah specifying the length of the Tumah. And if the Torah specifies it, I don't need a Tanaic source to say that, which is obvious by looking at the Psukim. Elolav l'machnosam. Therefore, we must conclude that the comparison between Sheretz and Balkeri is for numbers of camps, namely one, not like Reb Yochanan. Again, an inverted triangle in answer. Loi. Loilom l'tumasan. And not for Machnos. The comparison between Sheretz and Balkeri is regarding the Tumah, not the number of precincts. The Hal Kamash Malon, the Moker is telling me, the source is telling me, the Balkeri Kemaga Sheretz, that the Balkeri is like one who contacts a Sheretz. Ma Maga Sheretz Mitame Ba'oines, Af Balkeri, Mitambo is just like contact with the Sheretz imparts Tumah regardless of the circumstances. So too, the Keri Tumah imposes Tumah upon the person who experiences the emission regardless of the circumstances. Meisvei, we challenge Rabbi Yochanan again. The source at the top, and we have to note that we're at the top of Daf Samach Chesamad Aleph. This quote is the Seifa of the source we just referred to, namely Balkeri Kamaga Sheretz, that you can see seven lines from the bottom of Samach Zayin Beis. Here is the continuation of that source. It says, Uboyolnido ketome meis. The one who has intimacy with a menstruant woman is considered like a tome meis. Lamai, what is that parallel for? Ilemo lutumasan. If it's for the purpose of telling me something about their tumah, for example, their length of tumah, Hai tumas shivok sivbe, v'hai tumas shivok sivbe, both Boyol Nida and Tomei Meis have the Torah specifying the length of Tumah for them, namely 7 days. Elo lav l'machnosam. It must be that the Boyol Nida and Tomei Meis comparison is to tell me how many camps they are restricted from. Umi deseifo l'machnosam have, and since the seifo is a reference to camps, Reisha nami l'machnosam. The ratio where we saw the Balkeri Maga Sheretz comparison is 4 numbers of camps. Balkeri then would be sent out of one precinct, namely the Machne Shechino, like a Maga Sheretz, unlike Rabbi Yochanan, who said the Balkeri is sent out of 2. The Gemara rejects this. Midi Iria, is this a real proof? In other words, are you trying to prove the Din of Balkeri and its comparison to Maga Sheretz from the din of Boyol Nida Ketomei Meis, Ha Kedi Isa, each one on its own. The Reisha, which spoke about Balkeri compared to Maga Sheretz, is only a din regarding their Tumah. In other words, we mentioned their Mitam of Oines, and has nothing to do with camps. The Seifa is teaching me about camps, about Machanois. So that would be a defense for Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara raises a question. Now note, the question lasts a number of lines. The source says, we say, Meisvei Akasha on Rabbi Yochanan, Mitzora Chomer Mizav, Vizav Chomer Mitomei Meis. The Mitzora is more stringent than a Zav, and a Zav is more stringent than a Tomei Meis. Yotza Balkeri, Shetomei Meis, Chomer Mimenu. To the exclusion of Balkeri, where the Tomei Meis is more stringent. Now, this source in and of itself is vague. My Yotza. When you say here Yotza Balkeri, what is Yotza? It left something. It departed from something. Lav, does it not mean Yotza Miklal Zav Ubo Lichlal Tomei Meis? It means that the Balkeri left the realm of Ziva and becomes like the realm of Tumas Meis. The ha tomei meis chomur mimenu umuter b'machne levia Tomei Meis is more chomor than a Baal Keri. And even so, the Baal Keri becomes like the Tomei Meis. With regard to what? Umuter b'machne levia. That's the din that a Baal Keri, like a Tomei Meis, is sent out of one precinct. Unlike Rabbi Yochanan, who had the Baal Keri sent out of two. Loi. So the Gemara rejects this explanation of the source, and we have to go back to the dashed underlined expression Yotza Baal Keri in the source and explain. Yotza mimachne tomei meis v'nichnas l'machne zav. What the source is saying is that the Baal Keri leaves the realm vis-a-vis camps, the realm of Tomei Meis, which would have resulted in going out of one camp, the Machne Shechina, and the Baal Keri enters the realm of the Zav with regard to camps. He is sent out of two camps, like Reb Yochanan. The Afagav, the Tomei Meis, Chomur Mimenu, Umuter b'machne levia, even though the Tomei Meis, which is a 7-day Tumah period, as opposed to a Baal Keri, which is only a 1-day Tumah period, so even though Tomei Meis is Chomor, nevertheless the Tomei Meis is Mutter in the Machne Levia, and the Baal Keri not so. He is not allowed in Machne Levia, which we said refers to something like the Temple Mount in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And now, what's the logic of saying this? Namely, of saying that the Baal Keri is going to be compared to the Zav and represents a departure from Tomei Meis. The Hesber for that is Lamai de Domi Le Medamino Le. We prefer to compare like things. And namely, we'll compare the Baal Keri, which is an emission, a bodily emission, to Zav, which is also a bodily emission, as opposed to Tumas Meis, which is an externally generated Tumah. So as you can see in the last section of Gemara, just to review, we presented Shitas Rav Yochanan, that a Baal Keri is sent out of two camps, and we said this, we had learned earlier from the fact that the Pasuk said V'chol Zav, and we know a Zav is sent out of two camps, and V'chol came to include the Baal Keri, and that is something Rav Yochanan stated explicitly. By the way, we had a comment that we had in brackets before the first din of Rav Yochanan that we totally de-emphasized, but just a word about that. It said Mechilos Lo Niskachu. That's a reference to tunnels that are underneath the Azora. They don't have the same level of sanctity as the Azora. That's something will be touched on later in Maseches Psachim. However, Rav Yochanan's main din for our purposes is the idea of the Baal Keri is sent out of two camps. We saw a rigorous, intense back and forth discussion concerning Rabbi Yochanan trying to challenge him, then giving answers, again, questions and answers. Finally, Rabbi Yochanan remains intact, having answered all the questions posed to him. And we conclude with Rabbi Yochanan's din that a Baal Keri is sent out of two machnos. And as far as the superstructure or the overview of the general sukkah today is the proof, and it's a machlokas tanoim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon as to how do we know that each type of tumah, when they are prohibited to be in their respective machnos, are sent out into separate realms. The Tomei Meis is excluded from the Machne Shechin Olom, but Mutter allowed in Machne Levia. The Zav is prohibited in both the Machne Shechina and the Machne Levia. However, is Mutter in Machne Yisrael, which would be, in more contemporary terms, it would be allowed to be in Yerushalayim. And the Metzora, Bodod Yeshev, is sent out completely, and he is to be by himself in his own precinct, namely outside the Machne Yisrael. Before we conclude, let us just remind you, if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.